What a blessing. What a blessing. Glad to see everyone here this morning. How many here need more money, by the way? How many need more money? See, preacher. The truth is, we don't need more money. The Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. If we would just learn to walk in the fear of the Lord, it's surprising how little you really do need. You might want some things. And then the Bible also tells us that God gave them what they wanted, but sent leanness to their soul.
That's right.
So you might get just, you know, you got what you wanted, but you didn't want what you had. I think I heard Al Janney preach that message sometime years ago. You got what you wanted, but you didn't want what you got. And that's what happens when you don't let wisdom take over. And so the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Our title of the message, the Sunday school lesson, how to make wise financial decisions. And, you know, and so for, we'd say, all of us would say, like, I could use more extra money. But here's some things, that principles you ought to follow when it comes to making wise financial decisions. Number one, I said, stick with what you know. Proverbs 22:7. Stick with what you know, or Proverbs 27:12. Talks about having wisdom. Stick with what you know, and if you don't understand it, don't buy it. If God doesn't give you a perfect peace about it, someone says, should I buy this house over here? I'm thinking about moving. Well, I want to know God's will first, not whether it's a good deal or not, but that's where a lot of people, you make a decision financially on a good deal. Well, you know, if you wait long enough, it'll be a good deal. You know, I buy a car, and I did it one time, one brand new car, and I still have it. Was it 42 years later? We're still got it, but it's a classic car now. But you don't need to go out there and impress somebody. I'd like to say you can get rid of car payments. You can easily get rid of car payments. Don't finance them. Because once you buy your first, you buy your car, you ought to be putting money aside for the next one. Because you know what's going to happen, maybe in 10 years somewhere, but somewhere, put something aside and, you know, let that investment help you to earn a little bit more. And so I put down here, if you want to make wise financial decisions, be careful here, because greed will get you to buy stuff and then fear. You see the cycle? The cycle goes up and down, and so greed will get you buy things you really don't need with money you don't have to impress people you don't like. That's what greed will get you to do. Yeah, I like my, I showed you a picture of that, I got a 42-year-old car. I don't mind driving that. Now my wife, she drives a whole lot better Honda. But we have this little collector car. I don't have to impress anybody with a car. Yeah, and you know, at least it's not a, you know what a GTO was, right? You remember that one. How many, anyone know what a GOP means? Get out and push car. So you know you're going to have to replace some things and get some wisdom and put some money aside for that. Greed will get you buy things you don't have, and then fear will get you to sell. So I don't know how many here have a retirement plan at work, and you had some sort of mutual fund or something where you can invest money in. That sounds good, right? You got some of that. And done well. We've done very, very well over the years. But greed will get you to get into something because it's going up. And then what happens when it starts going down? Fear. My job as a broker to tell people, hang on. Hang on, because over the period of time, inflation will keep going up and up. Even though the price of that stock or that mutual fund goes down for 3 or 6 months, who knows what's going to happen after this election Tuesday? I'm hoping something good's going to come out of this. Well, we know that God is always up to something good. But greed will get you to buy something. Fear will get you to sell. And this is called the emotional curve of investing. Greed and fear. And then people end up, they always seem to buy when it goes up, and they want to sell when it's going down. And that perfect formula to lose money. So when you come to investments, I got a couple of principles down here. Because some people ask me, well, where should I invest? Where should the church put our extra money if we got? What should we be doing? I said, number, stick with what you know. Don't risk borrowed money. I don't like borrowing money. I don't want to ever borrow any money. We use a credit card on everything, but it's paid in full for the end of the month. If you haven't got the money to pay it off at the end of the month, then why do you use the card? Because that's a form of presumptuous sin that you're always going to have a job to keep the payments. So Proverbs 22:7 says, the rich rules over the poor, and the borrower is a servant of the lender. If you want to find out, I told someone I knew where to make 21%. I know how to make 21%. Just pay off the credit card. And they call our office and they say, well, look, we want to invest something over here. We got some extra money. I inherited some money. I tell you what to do, pay off the credit card. That's a whole lot better. Get rid of that credit card, because that's costing you 21%, or somewhere even as high as 27%. I won't ask anybody here if you ever missed a payment or missed payments for 2 or 3 months and see what they jacked the interest rate up to. Wow, that ought to be robbery. Number two, stick with what you know. And number three, take your time when it comes to doing some wise investments. Someone calls you up and some insurance guy gets you, and maybe sometimes a member of a church says, look, I'm selling insurance policies or annuities or so on, and then they want you to come over there. Or you ever get one of these, we've had those, they want you to come to a dinner. Oh, yeah. Some real fancy restaurant. Wow. Trying to think of the one up there and going up in Greenville. I think it's a real expensive place there, but they'll give you a free lunch or a free dinner, and you come over there and listen to all these sales pitch that they have. Then they want to sign you up for this, buying something or selling you some properties or so on. Yeah. It's like when you go to, some of you have been to Disney World, and you got all these timeshares, and they'll give you a free ticket to Disney World. It ain't a free ticket. Yeah, because you're giving yourself several hours and you got their name on their mailing list and they never let you go. So take your time. Don't make quick decisions. I want to pray about it. I want to make sure it's God's will. And so I'm going to take my time with that. Examine your attitude. That's a good thing. Why do you need it? A lot of people buy things we don't need to impress people we don't like. Why do I need a new car? Why do I need a bigger house? Why do I need this? And it's like some of our grandkids, I need to have this. No, you don't need to have a bicycle. But you can come up with every kind of need. If you want it real bad, you say it's a need. Well, I want to know, does God want me to have it? And so that brings it up. Seek some godly counsel. Proverbs 12:15, there is safety in a multitude of counselors. So I want to get some good, godly counsel before I get into any kind of investment. Yeah, there's safety in that multitude of counselors. So when someone says, look, I'm thinking of not doing this, they call us and say, well, what do you think? I get a lot of that out there, and then over the years, people would say, look, you run this little business over here. What should we do? Well, this is what I think. Well, someone over here offered this. I said, well, did you realize there's a 6% front-end load on that thing? Or there's a back-end fund. Some of those mutual funds have a back-end fund, so you don't pay it up front, but when you pay out over the next 20 years something, a little bit every month. So examine your attitude, seek some godly counsel. And here's one, Amos 3:3, can two walk together lest they be agreed? So the husband says, I gotta have this pickup truck. And the wife said, you don't need a pickup truck. Yeah, so Amos 3:3, can two walk together lest they be agreed? It may be the fad we're out here to have a pickup truck, but if you're out there living in the city and what do you need the big old truck? That you ever get one of those big trucks there, the diesel truck, and he gets in front of you, and you're sitting there at the red light, and then the light turned green, and he floors it. And what is, you're asphyxiated. Here's a guy spent $60,000 to blow smoke in my face. It almost seems like that. And so we ought to get some good wisdom. Both husband and wife should agree. We're not there to impress somebody. And to seek God's will for your life. Not what you want, but God's will. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. I like that verse. Yeah. He'll direct your paths. Sometimes God gives you a U-turn that you didn't want to go. But remember, God is still in charge. God is still in control. Yeah, I know how I want this election to turn out this week, but I know this, God is still in control. And God is always up to something good, whether I understand it or not.
That's right.
Yeah, some of us, a lot of seniors here, and you know, as you get older, things start changing. Well, I don't want that, but God's in control. And Lord, thank you for what you've done. Number seven here, seek God's will for your life. And then I said confirmation within God's word and get the conviction of the Holy Spirit. When you're in the center of God's will, you have perfect peace. And you don't have to go second guess it. You don't have to go out there and after you did it, you go seek someone else to maybe, you know what you're trying to do? You go find someone else who did the same thing and get them come for you. And he says, no, that's the right thing. Look, I want to go to someone who's going to disagree with me. I want to see why they would disagree. That's good wisdom. Not just looking for people who are going to put the rubber stamp because they did the same thing. They're not going to condemn you because they already did it themselves. But a lot of people will go look for someone else to get some advice because they've done it. I still have no desire to get a pickup truck that's 9 feet in the air. So conviction of the Holy Ghost and seek counsel from godly men. Letter C on there, 7C, counsel from godly men. I want to get some preacher's counsel. I want to get some deacon's counsel. I want to get someone else there who's already done that. I want some good godly counsel, not just what I feel. I still hear that guy, put your hand on the radio and feel it. No, I want some good godly counsel. And if I get the word of God and I get some godly counsel, I'm going to find that God's going to give me direction what I need there. And then consider circumstances around, not the last here, consider the eternal plan. What's God's eternal plan? God's eternal plan is for us, for every one of us. Chief end of man is to glorify God.
Right. Yeah.
And a lot of times we buy things to glorify ourselves. Yes, sir.
What was the circumstances from?
Without. Yeah. Circumstances from without. So don't force the circumstances. Well, my car's, it's getting older, so now we don't take care of it anymore. And now you force the circumstances. You have something different. All right. Now, on the bottom here, you got the step scale. Here's some steps to this making wise financial decisions. I said the first thing I want to do, if I'm going to make wise financial decisions, I want to pay off all the high interest-bearing debt. That's the best thing to do when you're paying 21, 22, 27%, whatever interest rate on it, 9%. Mortgage rates are going up, too. They're going up and higher. Remember the 3 and 4% in the years. Now we're seeing 8% out there is pretty common. So eliminate all high interest-bearing debt. And, of course, I would start with the credit card. Let's get rid of that. In fact, our rule is we don't have the money. We're not putting it on there. Number two, I mean, going up the stairs, when you want a strategy, eliminate a whole high interest debt, then start an emergency fund. You ought to have some, I called it quick cash. I've heard that expression before. I've had some quick cash. If you needed something, there it is. But that's sitting over in the savings account, not in the checking book and not in your pocketbook. It's money where if we needed something, there's like 3 months running money for unexpected things. Yeah, after we got the storm, thank God we made through it. But there's some people down there in Greenville that, yeah, when I look at my sister-in-law's kids, their house is crushed. Yeah, you ought to have something aside. They're set. Start an emergency fund and then start an auto replacement fund. So when you get your car paid off, start saving for the next car. That makes sense. Yeah, and believe me, it's nice that when you, here I put 15, If you put $300 a month in an investment account for 15 years, take that, $300 a month for 15 years. That's 3,600 times 15. Anyone figured out that's like 36 or almost $40,000 or more? And so if I just use that, just the interest that I, from the money I saved up, just the interest could help buy the next car. Now, that's pretty good. That's a change. Let the bank make the payment for your next car. Yeah, because why? Yeah, you're saving up. I put the money out of the bank there, and I think some are paying 5 or 6% interest rates. So, or a good mutual fund. I love that. To get a good mutual fund that can pay you 7 or maybe 9, 10%. And I'm not going to give it publicly, but I got a whole lot of good ones off the top of my head that we'll recommend for. But putting money away for that many years, the interest off that will purchase your car. And never touch the principal. Let your money work for you rather than you working for it. That's a whole lot better. Let your money work for you. And then set a goal to pay off your house. I love that. No more house payments. We bought our first house, 1989. And you know, I noticed at the end of the year, I got a tax refund. Well, where do you want to invest that? At that time, our interest rates were like 9% back then. So I knew where to get 9%. In fact, if you still got a mortgage, try this. Every month you get an amortization schedule, right? You got an amortization schedule on that thing. So what you want to do is make this month's payment, then the principal that you're going to pay on the next month. There was times when I looked at that and I said, we made 6 months worth of payments and only $17 went to the principal. And I thought I was making payments. No, it's just you're only paying interest. So I told someone, I said, I showed them, let's look, if you would take, well, let's say your monthly payments are $1,000 a month now, and maybe $50 goes to the principal. Well, if you would just take your tax refund that you get and throw the refund that you got from the government giving you a tax refund, the child tax credit, the earned income credit, if you got any of those things, take the money that the government gives you and put that right on the principal. That'll knock years off of payments. Yeah, I'm thinking of someone right now, a good friend of ours, and you probably know him, I won't say him here, but maybe you know this preacher too. But I showed him how to do that. I said, just take, you got an amortization schedule? You got this 30 years amortization schedule, and here's how much goes to the principal. It's amazing, you know, you got 360 payments, and you're spending like $1,500 a month, and then you looked at the end of the year after making $18,000 worth of payments, only $100 went to the principal. I said to myself, when I saw $100 going to the principal, how's it going to go to the, and I said, see, next year, how much is going to go to the principal next year? Let's say it's $150. Set them an extra $150 for next year. Set it now. Now you just got rid of 2 years' worth of payments. You got it. I mean, some of you are looking at this thing, and some of you are looking at me like a cow looking at a new fence. But that, if you look at this thing and you're saying, you got this mortgage payment, and you're paying us whatever, $900 a month, wow. And you paid 12 months, 9 times 12, well, anyways, so you don't get very far into this thing, but a little bit went to principal. Let's do that. Every month, not only pay the principal on this month's payments, but add extra to it. Well, so how do you know your bank's going to do that? I always told people, on the back of the check that your mortgage payment you're doing with, put endorsee, that's whoever, your bank or whoever you got it, endorsee acknowledges an advance payment of principal of X number of dollars. That's a nice way to get that. So it won't take you 30 years to pay off your house. You can get it less than half if you just take that scale that I just shared you with the mortgage payment. Long-term savings, some of you have a 401k plan, IRAs. Now, there's all kinds of IRAs and 401k plans. But if you've got something anywhere where your employer matches your investment, I would take advantage of that. Some of you, if you put so much money in your retirement plan, you can't make 100% anywhere else. But I got to leave it there for 30 years. Yeah, leave it there until you retire. And so I would consider that these long-term investments. I would take advantage of those 401k plans. IRAs, those are good. An IRA, it's a retirement plan. But you know, what's the government now? If you put like $2,000 in an IRA, they give you extra money for putting money in the IRA. So it increases your refund just because you put money into an IRA. Not only do they reduce your taxes, but they also give you a retirement savings credit for doing it. So now here you're putting $2,000 in and you just save $400 in your taxes. Did you figure what that is? That's like 20% rate of return. And some, well, I'm gonna go save up for this over here. No, look, get that thing paid off over here. If you've got an IRA, if you don't have one, you need to have something there. And there's some cutoffs, how much if your income is up to $300,000, I don't think the IRA is gonna help you. But there's some other places where you can put some money in. It makes a good rate of return. And I said, pay off the mortgage there. If you've got anyone here, I don't know if you have a 403B plan. Anyone here know what a 403B plan is? It's like a 401K, all right? So nonprofit churches have a 403B plan. And now they're coming up with a 403B9. Now, that one, maybe preacher, just a few of you might do that, missionary here, you might find out that a 403B9, you put money into that 403B9 and you take it out and you have no tax on it because it's a retired minister's housing allowance. So you can put a lot of money over 30, 40 years in a 403B9 and take it out and use it for your retired minister's housing and never pay a dime of tax. Or some of us could do this when you got a regular IRA, just got an IRA and you are at that age where you got to start taking money out. What you could do is do a qualified charitable distribution. So let's just say that you got this IRA, whatever number of dollars is in it, and now the government says, hey, you got to take out like 5% a year starting at age 70 or 70 and a half. You got to start taking money out. Well, you take it out, and what happens? It ends up on your tax return as taxable income. Doesn't it? You'll end up paying tax if you take money out of the IRA. But if you have that money coming out of the IRA, have it sent directly to your church. That's a qualified charitable distribution. Now it's not taxed. Yeah. If the other way, if you take money out of your IRA and you pay tax on it, it's going to show how much income, it's going to raise your income up because you're taking money out of the IRA, you understand? You take your $2,000 out of the IRA, now you got to go pay tax on it. And not only that, you pay tax on that, but there's a double tax when you take money out of the IRA, because what happens is now, since you took money out of the IRA, they tax more of your Social Security. The more you make, the more they're going to tax your Social Security benefits. So if I get into a qualified charitable distribution, I don't pay that tax at all. I save it both ways. Yeah, now I got a whole lot more I can give and never pay a dime of tax. Now, some of you are looking like you're looking at a cow looking at a new fence. I'll be glad here to take any questions afterwards here and talk to you and or send us an email. I'll be glad to show you some how those things work and then be a big help to you. So what do I look for when I'm looking for a good investment? I want something that's five-star rated. Five-star rating, not just one-star. And so where do you get that? You can go on your internet, and there's something called Morningstar. It's a website, just Morningstar, and it rates all those mutual. There's thousands of mutual funds out there. Well, I'm going to try to make sure I get something at least four or five-star rating. When I see something that has got a one-star rating, no way touch that. Yeah, so I look for a five-star rating, and then I want something that's low risk. That's pretty good. Low risk and got a five-star rating. But sometimes we know somebody who invested some money and they said, well, call this guy over here, he'll help you that. You know what, he's got to look at what his company sells and he will get you to buy something you really don't need. But he's got to make a commission. I respect the guy, I want to work for that way. But let's get the whole truth and everything out there instead of saying, hey, this is what I have. No, this is what's available. And whether you go through me or someone else or go wherever, you want to look at this. I look for a 5-star rating and I want something that's low risk. That is a beta score. If you don't know that, but some of you may take this and say, go to see someone else. I want someone with a beta score less than 1. That means it's very low risk. Yet I also want a high return. Now, how do you get something high return and low risk? It's usually you get high risk, high return. But there are out there, when you think of tens of thousands of different investments you can do through a broker or an investment advisor, an insurance agent, there's a lot of them out there. And so I'm looking for something that's got a high return, so I want an alpha score greater than 1. You don't understand this. Well, take this piece of paper when you go to see your investment advisor next time and say, can you get me these over here? I can dare say probably half the investment advisor says there is no such thing. Well, there's no such thing that their company sells. Yeah, you know, and some of these, the broker doesn't make any money at all. That's a nice way of saying it. Look, I do investments, but I'm not in it for the money. That's rare, very rare, because they have a self-interest and motivation at it. Hey, we've been at this ministry 42 years. And some of you know very well, we never, ever sent anyone a bill in 42 years. Never will. And I want God to be in it. I had said consistency since 9/11. 9/11 was a major change in our economy. Major change when they knocked the towers down in New York City. And I look back and I'd say, okay, what has happened since then? Is it up and down and up and down? I know I want something that's got, say, maybe 3 steps forward, 2 steps back, but at least I'm making money every year in something like that. But there's some out there that you can get in trouble with. Number 5, I always look for something that's morally conscientious. I don't want to go invest in something that God's cursed. It's got God's curse on it. I don't want anything to do with it. There's some products out there I just, you know, I don't want to get involved with cigarettes or anything would do with those. Some of those liberal organizations out there that sell good products, but I don't want them. I don't need them. So I'd say I look for a morally conscientious, and I want some very low fees. There's a lot of investments out there you can get in for less than 1%. I'm watching the clock here. We'll be done in about 5 minutes. If you see that little, it looks like an S over here. If you can see that, I call that the emotional curve of investing. You get very optimistic. Wow, I'm going to make a lot of money on this thing. Yeah, and then you get in there, and you get more excitement because you start making money. Well, you get excited. And then you get the thrill. Well, I made 21% this year. Then you get this euphoria. Then all of a sudden it goes down. And what happens? The emotional curve, anxiety comes in. Look at how much I lost this month. Well, you never had it anyways. It was just on paper. You didn't cash it in. And then once it goes down, you deny yourself that, well, it's just going to come right back up. That's where you can borrow brains. Go borrow some brains and say, is this thing going to turn around? I'm anxious to see what's going to happen in the market on Wednesday morning. Very anxious there, what's going to happen. Doesn't mean I'm going to jump out. No. I mean, no one knows what's going to happen there. Who knows, even have an honest election? I've just got some doubts there, too. Fear will get you to sell, and greed will get you to buy. And sometimes you see it goes down and down, and you get desperate. Just get rid of it. The longer you stay at it, eventually it comes around. We didn't sell our house when the real estate prices started going down in the 80s and the inflation came when the Clintons were in there and prices were going down. No, it's not the time to sell. Hang in there. Yeah, when prices are going down, go look for a rental. Gives you a lifetime income. And then panic. That's not the time to sell when you get real panicky. Hang in there, get some counsel from godly people. What to look for, and I gave you those five things over here to look at. Depression, you get really low when you get to the very bottom here, and then you get hope when it starts going back up. This is a curve. It goes down, and you get fear, then it starts going back up, and you got hope, and fear, and hope. I'm going to run by biblical principles, and I'm not going to have to fear, and I'm not going to be sitting over here hope and go through this up and down, and call your broker 3 or 4 times a month what's happening in my investments or what's going to happen to my real estate and so on. I want to make sure that I stay with the consistency and look at these principles here. I think we got a piece of paper on the back, and I don't need to go through all this thing because we're out of time. Solomon's financial principles, anyone, you did not get that, we'll get an extra copy of these, but I'll give you these. It should be on the back side. This is, here, take this and make it a good Bible study. Yeah. Solomon's financial principles. Make wisdom your principal goal. Don't make money making. Money making is a good idea, but wisdom is more important. Through wisdom is a house built into understanding. Be honest. Be honest in everything you do. Never seek to make a profit at someone else's expense. Yeah. Pay your bills when they're due. I mean, I just go on and we can go on and on and on here, and we're out of time right now, but I want... Take this and look up these Bible verses, biblical verses. You can start, look at every one of these in the book of Proverbs. That's why I call it Solomon's financial principles. Solomon was supposed to be one of the richest men on earth at that time. And now, if Solomon was that wealthy and he had a biblical background, it would help us if we would just go look through some of these verses and take this to heart, that we can do some of these things that might help us to be a better steward of what we have. Remember that we are only stewards. Everything belongs to God. And one of these days, we'll give an account of our stewardship. I pray that God will say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for giving us guidance and wisdom today. And thank you, Lord, for these who come. Pray, Father, you would help us to apply this to our life, that we might see you bless us, not just in finances, but Lord, bless us in the Spirit of God and the joy that we have in the Lord. Lord, the joy of the Lord is our strength and not the money of this world. I ask you to bless now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Wasn't that good? Amen. Good stuff. You know, this Bible, this book...